laws of divine law, we find peace and harmony. Adherence to Sharia, a blessing for you and me.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Mursaleen, Amma ba'd fa'udhu billahi min shaytan rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. Salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our program Adherence to Sharia. We're in the blessed month of Ramadan Kareem, and inshallah we'll be hearing about another important topic that we can learn about and implement in our lives. Before we begin, let's hear an excellence of reciting Durood Sharif. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Zayyinu majalisakum bis-salati alayya, fa inna salatakum alayya nurun lakum yawm al-qiyamah." Decorate your gatherings by reciting salat upon me, for indeed your recitation of salat upon me will be nur for you on the day of judgment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Views of Madin Channel. Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in Al-Quran Al-Kareem in the 12th para, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا, that there is no one on earth except that its rizq is upon Allah. That includes humankind, animals, every type of creation. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has taking it upon himself to provide the sustenance for every living being. And when we study the hadith literature, we study our deen deeply, we find that this rizq has been ordained before we even come to the world. Yes, before we even come to the world, before we even breathed, Allah Ta'ala has ordained how much rizq we will eat, how much sustenance we will attain. All of this is willed by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And in some narrations, we are told that a person does not pursue his rizq as much as the rizq pursues him. Meaning, the rizq comes to a person. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, a person can try his utmost to try and attain more than what is ordained for him. He will never be able to attain even a single penny more. And conversely, if a person were to try and prevent someone from attaining rizq that is destined for him, can never do so. Every single penny, every single morsel, every single form of sustenance which has been ordained and willed for you, destined for you, will reach you most definitely. But what happens? Sometimes a person attains rizq that has been destined for him in ways which are not permitted by Sharia. What do you mean by that? A person goes towards robbing, becoming a thief, bribing others, involving themselves in interest-based, usury-based transactions. Deceiving others, deception is used a lot nowadays to earn wealth and things like this. Now, when he's doing this, unfortunately, he is involved in earning, gathering and accumulating haram, unlawful sustenance. It's still sustenance, but it's haram. And the reason why he is to blame is because he has made efforts to obtain it in that way. There were permissible ways. There were jais ways, but he abandoned them or ignored them and instead pursued these ways which were impermissible, disliked by Allah, prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Al-Quran Al-Kareem, we're told in Surah Nisa, para number 5, يَا أَيُّوَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ, that O believers, do not consume the wealth of one another in unlawful ways. Now, look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in and their caution in this regard. How cautious were they, subhanAllah. When this verse was revealed, they even stopped eating from the houses of their close relatives. They would go to their relatives' houses, those close relatives. When this verse was revealed, they stopped. Why? Lest they fall into something, consuming food at the other people's houses, the relatives' houses, that is not permitted for them. This was the ihtiyat. This was their taqwa. This was their precautiousness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, وَلَا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَن تَأْكُلُوا مِن بُيُوتِكُمْ أَوْ بُيُوتِ آبَائِكُمْ, that you're allowed to eat in your own houses. You're allowed to eat in the houses of your offspring, meaning your father's house. And there's no issue in this. But this was the ihtiyat. This was the sahaba's fear, khashiyah that they had in their hearts, that they would stop eating from their close relatives' houses. Now, when we focus on our lives, our situation. And when we eat on a daily basis, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks throughout the days. When we place that morsel in our mouths, do we actually ponder and reflect? Wait a minute, this morsel, where is it from? What's the source? Is it jais? Is it halal? Is it permitted? Will I be sinful for eating this morsel? Are we only looking at the taste of the food, the texture of the dish, the deliciousness? Is it to our liking? Is it to our standard? Where are the sources? Where's the fizzy drink? Where's this? Where's that? I have to have a dessert at the end. Is that all that is playing on our mind? And we're neglectful in where that food is coming from? And if that is the case, then we need to remove this mindset. We need to be more cautious, just like the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. We're cautious about every single morsel that enters their mouth. Whenever we extend our hands towards any form of sustenance, we should always ponder, we should reflect that for me to obtain that, for me to acquire that, for me to consume that, is that permissible or not? Now, for example, if someone knows that certain wealth, sustenance belongs to orphans, then of course it's not allowed for him as an unfamiliar, unrelated person to just go on. Take the sustenance of the orphans. And in reference to the wealth of the orphans, Allah Ta'ala has said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. That indeed those who consume the wealth of orphans unjustly, ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. They are only filling their stomachs with fire. Look at that. So we have to be very careful. Where is this sustenance coming from? Where is this food coming from? Is it allowed for me? Is it permitted for me? Or is it the case that I'll be sinful for eating that? And especially those people who are actively engaged in acquiring money, wealth, sustenance from haram sources, they need to ponder 10 times, 100 times. So every day when they are, for example, robbing people, or if they're deceiving people to sell their possessions, if they're involved in bribing others, if they're involved in usury-based transactions regularly, they need to think to themselves, what am I doing? I'm earning the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm destroying my akhirah. What over the petty things of this world? I could survive on something less. But why am I trying to maintain a lifestyle that leads me to earning haram, to involving myself in haram? That lifestyle is short-lived. 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. Then we move on. Many people go before that. So is it worth it? Of course it's not worth it. When you have to answer for every single thing on the Day of Judgment, where you earned your money from, how you spent it, etc. It's a famous narration. We'll hear about that narration. We have to be very, very careful. And it's so sad and so unfortunate. We hear things, reports from reliable sources about how people are just desperate to obtain wealth in any way possible, without considering whether it's halal for them to do so or not, without considering the fact that they're harming people in the process. If you just go back a few years, during the pandemic, during the coronavirus situation, COVID-19, and there were lockdowns, people were not able to earn. Some people are hand-to-mouth in the sense that they go to work, they earn, and they provide for their families. They don't have savings, so they have to work every day. They don't have investments, they don't have businesses. Such people were affected. The poor were affected more than normal. So what happened? And those people who Allah had blessed began giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were appeals, charity appeals. People began to give to the less fortunate. They would transfer their funds to these charities. Now, these charities who have the responsibility of ensuring that that wealth reaches the mustahiqeen, those who are worthy, the recipients of that wealth, they would go. They would fill the trucks with rations and items, money and all sorts. And on the way, what would happen? Robbers. Thieves would come and loot the vans, would come and at gunpoint steal the money. Allahu Akbar Kabir. Is there no fear in the world? No fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hearts? That there you're preventing aid reaching the ones who are deserving. And greed kicks in. That here is a truck full of charity donations, full of food, full of maybe clothing for the winter, maybe other things, much needed things, milk for babies, etc. And the person thinks, oh, I'll take all of that for myself. Or I'll sell it on, ma'adallah. These things are not made up. These things actually happened. Now, another example of how people earn and acquire the assistance in wrongful ways. A person may have a shop, he's got a supermarket or anything of the like. A customer comes to him, a customer pays him the money. This person gives the item, hands the item over, and that's it. The transaction concludes and he thinks, oh, it's just a normal transaction. I've earned my money, it's halal for me. But when you go into it deeper, when you look at that transaction, what you will find is the customer was naive. He was none the wiser. He didn't know that the item he's buying is faulty. The item he's buying has been tampered with. The item he's buying is slightly damaged. And the shopkeeper was supposed to mention that brother, you're buying this item, but there's this fault in it. He should have mentioned every fault in that item. But he's thinking, if I mention the fault, he's not going to buy it. He's going to start asking for a heavy discount, this, that, and the other. I won't mention it, and I'll just hope for the best that he doesn't come back the next day, or he doesn't come back and ask me for a refund or anything like that. Or it's not a major problem, it's not a major fault, and it's at a place where it's not easily noticeable or visible. Allahu Akbar. Sharia tells us, in such a situation, you know there's a fault with the item, with the goods, you have to declare it. But people will deceive, people will try to get away and not tell others. And what happens then? They've sold their maal, they've sold their goods, they've received the money. The money is not even permissible for them. This is happening in our society. And then people ask, oh, where's the barakah? Where's the blessings? I earn so much, I don't see where it goes. I don't know where it goes. My kids don't listen to me. My wife's nagging me. This is happening, that's happening. It's like someone has done nazar on us. Whereas we're not denying nazar. We're not saying that evil eye isn't something that is true. It is true. Al-aynu haqqun. But are we contributing to our own downfall, our own nuqsan, our own problems? This is the question we need to ask ourselves. In Al-Quran Al-Kareem, we're told that Allah Ta'ala ordered the messengers, the best in all of creation, messengers alayhim salat wa salam, to eat pure things. And He ordered us to do the same as well. Look at these verses of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. That all messengers eat from the pure things and do righteous actions. In another verse in Surah Baqarah, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. O believers, eat from the pure things that we have granted you, we have given you. Now here, question is, have we said labbaik to this command of Allah? Eat from the pure things, halal things, lawful things. Or have we adopted the mindset that it doesn't matter where it comes from, as long as it comes, I'm not really fussed. Na'udhubillah. The family is pressuring him, the kids are pressuring him, the wife is pressuring him, so-and-so is pressuring him, and he's thinking, in my situation, everything goes, everything's fine. I won't look at where it's from. Everyone's involved in this stuff. If you're honest nowadays, if you're strict in following the rulings of Sharia, you won't get anywhere, ma'adallah. People say these kind of things, not knowing the consequences of what they're saying, not knowing that they are, ma'adallah, disrespecting the Sharia by saying such a thing. They're not adhering to the Sharia. Once the Prophet ﷺ mentioned an individual who was a traveler, and he had all the hallmarks, the signs of a traveler. Disheveled hair, scruffy look, clothes are all dusty. Meaning this state is normally associated with a person who, when he beseeches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala accepts the dua. This person is broken. This person hasn't got anything. He's a traveler as well. But what happens, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this person who has the look of a humble individual, humbleness is beloved to Allah, he raises his hands and he says, Ya Rabbi, O my Lord, Ya Rabbi, and he makes dua like this. But, mat'abuhu haram, his food is haram, malbasuhu haram, his clothing is from haram sources, mashrabuhu haram, his drink is from haram sources. Anna yustajabu lahu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when this is the case, it doesn't matter that he's got disheveled hair, it doesn't matter that he's got scruffy clothes, dusty clothes. It doesn't matter that he looks like someone who is broken and humble in the court of Allah. The fact of the matter is that he has been attaining things from a wrongful source. The hadith also mentions, غُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ, that he was nurtured by haram, meaning he ate and he gained strength, and that was also haram, from haram sources. Then how is his dua going to be accepted? How can he expect for his du'as to be accepted? This is why we give the example today that people are often seen complaining, but they don't look at the root causes of all of these things. A sahibul iman, someone with iman, has pure intentions. He purifies his outer. He works on purifying his inner. His nature is pure. His sustenance that he eats and he earns is from pure sources. Meaning, purity is a big part in the life of a believer. But if someone were to disregard and discard all of these things, not look at where his income's from, not worry about whether Allah will be pleased or not, not worry about accountability in the hereafter, not worry about if he's deceiving fellow Muslims, if he's transgressing and violating the rights of others, as long as he earns, as long as he's increasing in his sustenance, in his bank balance, through whatever means, that's okay for him. How is he going to gain barakah? How is he going to avoid the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And trust me, that earning will be short-lived for a short amount of time. Then the accountability and the questioning, that remains. He won't be able to taste and relish what he experienced in the dunya. In the akhirah, when he's giving accountability, he'll be drowning in his sweat. He'll be nervous, he'll be anxious, apprehensive, he'll be worried and concerned. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And a person should never ever think that, oh, I've got away with it. Who's going to ask me now? Or who's got the audacity to ask me? Who's going to come to me and take me to task in the dunya? In the dunya, you might get away with it. You might get away with it. Even though in the dunya, you will see the repercussions of doing such a thing. Disobedient children, unsupportive, unloyal spouse. Many other problems as well. Health problems, this issue, that issue. People see that in the dunya as well. But in the akhirah, yawmul jaza, yawmul deen, the day of accountability, the day of recompense, the day when a person will have to answer. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. A person will have to answer about every blessing. What was the source of that blessing? Where did he earn from? Where did he spend? These things will have to be answered. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the flesh and the blood that was nurtured through haram, that is more worthy of being in a hellfire. Hellfire is more worthy of that body, of such a body. Astaghfirullah. We can't even bear dunyavi pain. If our hand accidentally touches something hot, we scream, we let out a scream, oof, I've burnt myself. Give me something cold. We go to the freezer, we take something out, and it's still the pain does not subside, we go to the hospital, A&E, we get it checked out. But the akhirah, the adab of the akhirah, that's specifically made to punish. How can a person withstand that? How can a person bear that? Not possible. No aid, no helper, nothing. This is why we need to earn from halal sources. We need to earn in pure ways so that we can attain barakah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that whoever earns halal, and this is, before I mention this hadith, just to give a bit of context, today people earn from any means, and then they say, oh, we're helping our relatives, or we're giving it in charity, we're aiding a good cause, thinking that they're going to be rewarded for giving haram in the way of Allah. Look at this hadith, in Targheeb wa Tarheeb. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever earned haram, and then by means of the haram wealth, he freed slaves, and did sila rahmi, meaning he maintained ties with his relatives, gave them money, pleased them, whatever. Gave in righteous ways, towards righteous causes. After doing all of this, this person will still be sinful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of judgment, he will be asked a few questions, a series of questions. One of those questions will be, where did you earn your wealth from? Another question will be, where did you spend your wealth? And until a person answers these questions, he will not be able to move his feet from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in light of this hadith, we should assess our own situation. We should reflect. If we were asked these questions, how would we be able to answer? Would I be able to give a satisfactory answer? An answer that saves me from divine punishment? If yes, alhamdulillah. Praise Allah for istiqamat in earning halal. And if we won't be able to answer, then we must change from this moment, this instant. We must cut out all sources that are unlawful and that are displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just to conclude, in the dunya, look how fearful we are. Look how cautious we are. And if we are at a place where we know the rules, the laws of the land are implemented strictly, we make sure that we don't put a foot wrong. And if we ever do, we can't even sleep. Sukoon leaves us. There's no peace in our lives. Oh, did the camera flash me when I was driving in the wrong lane? Or will that witness be able to recognize me when someone was involved in road rage, for example? What will happen? They can't sleep. They have a court date. They're worried to death about that court date. They're going to this person or that person, help me in some way. Imagine that fear that goes through people's minds. How am I going to answer? Or someone's involved in tax evasion or some other thing, fraud, money laundering. Oh, how am I going to answer where all of this wealth came from? I can't even account for a penny of that wealth. That's the dunya. And you can't account for it. A person can't account for it. And he knows he'll be in trouble because he can't account for it. What about the akhirah? Allah Ta'ala cannot be bribed. Allah Ta'ala cannot be deceived. A person cannot lie to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. A person cannot present a false witness in the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. None of the above. And when a person knows this, then in the dunya, I can't get away. It's very difficult to get out of situations like that where you've earned unlawful wealth and you've been caught. And in the akhirah, what chance does a person stand? No chance whatsoever. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, for the sake of this blessed month of Ramadan, give us tawfiq to earn only in a halal way. We eat only that which is halal. We provide to our children and wife only that which is halal. So on the Day of Judgment, we are not taken to task for earning haram, and we are not punished for earning haram. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq in this regard. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
In Allah's divine law, we find peace and harmony. Adherence to Sharia, a blessing for you and